Like for everyone that's here today to know that I'm really glad you're here. Each one that's made an effort, time of sickness, and certainly appreciate you being here. The word resolved means to come to a definite or earnest decision about, determine to do something. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I believe it would be good for us to be resolved about some things in life. Have you ever been on the highway and seen a car approaching an exit ramp, and they could not decide whether they were going to exit or stay on the highway? Highway speeds gets dangerous. There's a chance of being rear-ended. There's a chance of running into barrels and guardrails. Undecided. Well, spiritually, it is good to be resolved, to have our minds made up what we are going to do. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There has been a tendency to mix religions. I'd like to read in the account 1 Kings chapter 16. Elijah. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Ahab was dabbling in idolatry. Chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Moving down to verse 17. Chapter 18 and verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? It appears to me that King Ahab had a lot of confidence in Elijah's prayers. To assign responsibility to Elijah for there being no rain, for there being a famine in the land, he must have had some respect for the power of his prayer. Elijah was asked of Ahab, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. How long will you be undecided? And the people answered him not a word. It seems like that the people were either unwilling to forsake Baal, were unwilling to make a decision, Either they wanted to hold on or they just didn't want to be forced into a decision. We need to be resolved about the way that we're going to go. It's too dangerous to simply be undecided, like the person that is not sure, am I going to exit? Am I going to stay on the highway? You keep that point of indecision long enough and you're liable to have a wreck. That scared me before because I've done it myself, where I was not sure, is this it or is it not? I need to hurry and make a decision. I was getting closer and closer. Well, how much more dangerous with our eternal souls? To not have a decided course, to not be resolved to follow the Lord all the way. How long halt ye between two opinions? I imagine that the children of Israel were truly torn. They knew something about the Lord God of Israel. They knew the stories of deliverance, the stories of the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the sea. They had seen miracles worked by God. They had had this heritage. They grew up that way. But then they were also influenced by the idolatrous people that surrounded them. And so they were torn. They didn't have a resolve to live for the Lord like they should have. There may have been times that a prophet came through and they were more influenced to live for the Lord, to follow Him. And then as time passed, the prophet went on his way, perhaps the surroundings influenced them more, unresolved to follow the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, this is Paul, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. I don't know what things lie ahead, but I do know that in every city bonds and afflictions abide me. A man that was resolved. We can approach life feeling that I will live for the Lord unless it gets so bad. Unless I have to face this particular trial, then I will turn back. But Paul went bound in the Spirit regardless of what happened. He was a man that had it resolved. In chapter 21, in verse 8, the next day we were of Paul's company, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul, don't go. You hear the prophecy. Don't go. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." That is being resolved. Here he was starting to understand what awaited him. There is definite capture. You're going to be bound. But he had his mind made up. How is your resolve this morning? I'd like to move to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel 3 and verse 4. He said unto me, "Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them." Verse 7, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." The word impudent means contemptuous or cocky. "All the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." The Lord gave the prophet Ezekiel resolve. "I have made your forehead harder than flint. Don't be afraid of their looks." You know, people have a way of putting pressure on other people. The way they look at them, looks of disapproval, frowns. Lord, help our resolve. Could it be that people's looks, people's disapproval, will cause us to sway from our resolve for the Lord? The Lord can make our forehead like a flint. In Isaiah chapter 50, we have a prophecy of Jesus, Isaiah 50 and 6. "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." I'd like to share a Bible commentator's comments. "Therefore have I set my face like a flint, or like a steel, or as an adamant stone, hardened against all opposition, resolute and undaunted, constant and unmoved by words and blows of men, not to be browbeaten or put out of countenance, or by anything they can say or do. He was not dismayed at his enemies who came to apprehend him," speaking of Jesus, "though they came to him as a thief with swords and staves, nor in the high priest's palace, nor in Pilate's hall, in both which places he was roughly used, nor at Satan and his principalities and powers, nor at death itself with all its terrors." Jesus had resolve. How is your resolve this morning? John chapter 7, verse 1 tells us that Jesus did not go among the Jews because they sought to kill him. At a certain phase in his ministry, he was in Galilee rather than staying among the Jews. But the time came that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, Luke 9 and 51. "It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." He set his face like a flint. Unlike Paul, Jesus knew what waited for him. Paul said, I go to Jerusalem and I don't know the things there that will befall me. I know there's trouble everywhere, but I just don't know. But Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. But yet, the Scripture says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Have you set your face toward something today? Have you set your face? I'm going to heaven. And it doesn't matter what the people at school say. It doesn't matter how wicked the world gets. No matter what I have to face in life, I am going through to the goal. I'm going to make it. I imagine that took quite a bit of resolve, don't you? It's little wonder that Jesus prayed so earnestly in the garden. Lord, it's my desire that this cup pass from me. But he had some resolve and he set his face. And that's my burden this morning, that we have some resolve in our lives. Clark's commentary says this was Jesus' last journey to Jerusalem. Can you imagine taking a journey and realizing this is the last time? I'm leaving this place for the very last time. And I'm going up there to face my torture and death. That's some resolve, isn't it? He steadfastly set his face. That is, after proper and mature deliberation, he chose now to go up to Jerusalem and firmly determined to accomplish his design. I believe that if we get to heaven, it's going to be because we've had some resolve. We have set our face. I'm going to be like a flint. I'm not going to worry about what all the other people are doing. I'm not turning back. I have resolve. Jesus was our example. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did Jesus do it? If you had to take your last journey, and you went willingly, like a lamb to slaughter, and you didn't revile again those that were reviling you, if you had 12 legions of angels at your disposal and you did not make use of that power, if when people came to arrest you and asked, are you the Christ? And you said, I am. And they just fell back. You had that kind of power. And yet you went on and had the resolve not to use it, not to come down from the cross when you were being mocked. How would you do that? I believe it's the answer is found here in Hebrews 12 and 2. It said, for the joy that was set before him. I believe that he looked forward to the joy of the eternal souls being in heaven with him. I believe he looked forward to the joy of being set down at the right hand of God. That helped give him the resolve that I'm going through with this, no matter how hard it is, I will do it. I believe that we can have the resolve today if we'll get our focus out on the goal and focus less on the evil of this world and the things that other people are doing. Other people may fail. They may go back. People we really counted on may disappoint us. But if, like Jesus, we will look forward to that goal, the joy that is set before us, it will help our resolve. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I don't believe we're going to get to heaven by accident. I don't believe we're going to get to heaven by just following the flow, drifting along by being undecided. But I believe we're going to have to get violent with our own flesh, with temptations, with discouragements, with all the things that would be hindrances for us to get to heaven, I believe we're going to have to get violent with those things, and we'll be able to take the kingdom of heaven. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that predators tend to prey on those that are weak? And I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard that the lion will put his head to the ground and roar, and it terrifies the little animals. What do you do when you're terrified? You tend to get confused, don't you? You tend to lose your resolve. You tend to think, do I go this way? Do I go that way? And while these little animals are terrified, they become easy prey for the lion. We need to have some resolve that even if I meet the lion, I'm going through. I'm not going to allow him to devour me, even if he roars. Even if he's after me, I have some resolve. I can face the lion by God's grace. I'd like to share some history with you, and I ask you, forgive me because this is graphic history. It's not pleasant, but I believe it is good for us to realize what mankind has faced at one time. In 1641, there was a massacre in Ireland of Protestants by the Catholics. The Catholics massacred the Protestants. In some places, they plucked out the eyes and cut off the hands of the Protestants, and in that manner turned them into the fields, there to wander out their miserable existence. They obliged many young men to force their aged parents to a river, where they were drowned, wives to assist in hanging their husbands, and mothers to cut the throats of their children. Persecutors broke into churches, burning pulpits, pews, and all belonging thereunto, with extreme violence and expression of hatred to religion, and triumphing also in their impiety. Professing that not one Protestant should be left in their kingdom, dragging some professors through the streets by the hair of the head into the church, they stripped them, whipped them, and cruelly used them. And they added these taunting words, "If you come tomorrow, you shall hear the same like sermon." I want to ask you, how's your resolve? Did you know there are people for their religious beliefs have faced this kind of horrible persecution, barbaric violence? We're not facing very much, are we? Now, the tide is turning. There has been a war on our religious freedoms for a long time, and the war is gaining momentum. And I believe it's the same type of spirit that came against believers in that day that's coming against us today. Not satisfied just to resist and just to be different and just to be evil, but to actually cause them to do evil to others was the intent. To enjoy their suffering in that situation. Are you resolved that no matter how rough it gets, I'm going through to heaven because it's going to be worth it? Are you resolved that you're going to go through to heaven even if we continue in prosperity and a life of freedom, a life of relative ease? Will you still make it that way? You know, there are many people that will not make it, even though they're not facing this kind of persecution. Just the prosperity and the availability of money and pleasures and all these cares of life is enough to distract people from their resolve to live for the Lord. So I ask you today, are you resolved? Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. On that day it will be worth it if we have kept our resolve. 2 Samuel chapter 23. How is your resolve this morning? Second Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, the chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. It seems that slaying 800 people with a spear would about wear a person out. That man must have had some resolve. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And all the men of Israel were gone away. Notice that. All the men of Israel were gone away. But verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. Even though everyone else had turned and run, he arose and smote the Philistines. How is your resolve today? Can you stand alone for the Lord? And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord brought a great victory. Now notice this. The man stood alone and defended the ground, and who wrought the victory? The Lord did. The Lord looks at our resolve, and he supplies the power. He is the one that gives the victory. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect before the Lord. All we have to do is live for him, have the resolve, and the Lord is looking for us to help him, to help us. To be resolved is to come to a definite and earnest decision. We need to make the decision. Lord, I'm going to live for you. I am going to make it, no matter how hard things get. Lord, even if people turn back and leave me here alone to defend the land, I'm staying true to you. When is it that we make this decision? Is it when we are brought up and we see the fiery furnace? Is that when we make the decision? Do you believe that's when the three Hebrew children finally came to the place that I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what? I believe they had a little history of having a resolve. The three Hebrew children had resolved already that they were not going to defile themselves with the king's meat or wine. And that was under pressure from the higher ups. Wait a minute, the king sees you suffering under my jurisdiction, there's going to be trouble. But they had a resolve. I'm not going to defile myself. Even if I'm out of favor with the king, even if my position is threatened, and I've been one of the selected ones, even if that is threatened, I will not defile myself. Is your resolve strong today that you're not going to defile yourself with this world, with the pleasures of it, with the sins of this world? I will not, even if it costs me position, even if it costs me acceptance by my friends, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be true to the Lord. When do you make your decision? I'm resolved. Is it when those flames, you feel the heat of it in your face? No, the resolve needs to start before then. Is it when you hear the roar of the lions in the den? Now, Daniel, you know where we're getting ready to put you. But when that roar came and about shook his bones, do you suppose that was a time that Daniel was making his decision, I think I'll go ahead and I'll serve the Lord. I'm going to be faithful. No, it tells us in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 something about this man's resolve. Daniel 6 and 10, Daniel was under pressure. Here was a man that had position. He had position, and his position was under threat. Now when Daniel 6 and 10, knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Notice this last phrase, as he did aforetime. This wasn't something new that he made, a habit that he made just because the king enacted the law. He already had the resolve. This was already his mode of living. That's the way we have a resolve. We start with small things. We start with small decisions every day. Lord, I'm going to live for you today. I'm going to resist that temptation. I'm going to say no to discouragement today. And as we build a life of resolve every day, when we face the fiery furnace or when we face the lion's den or whatever it is for your life, you can keep your resolve. But if you wait until the big trial to make up your mind, you're going to be in trouble. I knew a man who once was a preacher. This man gave an illustration of discussing with other religious people what they would do in a certain temptation. And he said they were all sanctimonious and, oh, I would do this and that. And they were talking about how they would resist the temptation. But his answer was, I don't know what I would do until I'm faced with a situation. The same man had made shipwreck out of his life. He was a womanizer. His business collapsed. That's not a time to make the decision. When you face the temptation to finally make the resolve that if I face that temptation, I will live for the Lord. No, your resolve needs to be made well ahead of ever getting to the temptation. That even if I'm faced with this, I'm going to live right. No matter what it is, I'm going to live right if it kills me. I will do it. We must have resolve. Luke 16 and 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If we want resolve in the day of big trials, we must be faithful in the things that are least. Day by day, daily decisions. I am resolved. I'm going to do what's right. Psalms 119 and 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall deter their resolve. They that love thy law. When we find that treasure of great price hidden in the field, and we are willing to sell all to buy that treasure, we're not going to be easily deterred from our resolve. In Romans 8 and 35, it's questioning what can break our resolve. Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Have you gone through the list of things that might happen to you in life? And the devil painted a picture and said, if this happens to you, then you will be mine. Did you know there doesn't have to be anything on that list? That if that happens to you, you will fall. No. We can have a resolve that nothing is going to turn us back. And the Lord will support that. He will back us up and give us the power. What shall separate us or who from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and this comes from the voice of experience, the man who is beaten, the man who is shipwrecked, the man who is cast out for dead. And he became persuaded, the man who is resolved, set his face to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew he would be bound there and things, bad things would happen. He was persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Does that category ever worry you? Things to come? Lord, you've helped me through everything up to this point. You've helped me through all my trials. You've helped me to live saved. But Lord, I'm worried about the future. What if this happens to me or that? We need to have a resolve and be persuaded that none of these things have to separate us from the love of Christ. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can have a resolve, but we also need the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. It's not enough to have a strong will and a strong determination. In human strength, we are too weak. We will be overcome. First of all, we need an experience of salvation. It is not enough to resolve to do better. But once we are born again, we are on our way to being able to keep a resolve that we really need the power of the Holy Ghost. Think of Peter. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to the death, didn't he? But somehow he failed in his resolve, and he ended up denying the Lord. It was right after that the Lord said, Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And that's what Peter did. But after Peter repented and was saved again and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, he was able to keep his resolve all the way to a death of torture. I believe Peter made his goal in heaven. I've been inspired by a song. It was written by Palmer Hartsau in 1896. The music was by James Fillmore. Fillmore was the original author of the words. And the purpose of the song was for the Convention of Christian Endeavor in San Francisco. But then later, Fillmore asked Hartsau, who is a writer on Fillmore's staff of Music Publishing House, to write new words for the song so that it could be used more widely. So Fillmore and Hartsau together produced this song by the inspiration of the Lord. I thought it was interesting, 14 trains of people sang the song on the way from Ohio to the convention in San Francisco. 14 trains. Not four people in a vehicle. 14 trains were singing this song. I would have liked to have been there. Can you imagine San Francisco having this kind of convention today? At least 14 trainloads of people coming in. And here was a song. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Now, it's more than I am resolved because I've messed my life up. But there is something higher in life. There is something that has attracted me that I want it so badly that I have resolved I'm not going to linger in an undecided condition anymore. I'm not going to halt between two opinions. I'm not going to try to get as close to the world as I can and still hold on to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because things that are higher, things that are nobler, those have allured my sight. I have a goal now, and I'm resolved to get that goal. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. Will you go back also, Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the ones that have the words of life. I have a resolution, Lord. There's no other place to go. There's nothing else in life that is worthwhile, Lord. I'm resolved. I'm going to follow you all the way to the end. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Do you still love sin today? It'll destroy you. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. That sounds like being resolved to me. People may oppose me, but I'm going to set my face. I'm going to make my forehead like flint. You can oppose me all you want. I am going through. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I will hasten, hasten to Him. Amen.